Sister Hackenbrew, and she is a missionary to Switzerland and Austria, some of the most beautiful places in this world. I remember standing in Interlaken in Switzerland with my wife years ago thinking, my Lord, I'd like to live here. And you can't go to Switzerland unless you're born there or married somebody from there. It's very difficult to get into Switzerland. And I'm so glad that we have a missionary from Switzerland here who's going to tell us a little bit about what's going on in Switzerland and preach the word. Are you ready to have the word preached to you tonight? Amen. Glory to God, sister. Amen.
Oh, can we give a hand clap of praise to the Lord right now? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, God, we are so grateful to be in your presence. Hallelujah, Jesus. I was just saying it earlier today. We were singing about the name of Jesus, how powerful the name of Jesus is, how marvelous, how excellent, how wonderful the name of Jesus is. And you know, unfortunately, sometimes we can get a little bit caught up in, we get used to hearing it. We get used to God responding. We get used to the blessings of the Lord. But as we were sitting there singing that this morning, he reminded me of something that happened in Austria. And a young man that came to our church, and he's from Tehran. And if you know anything about that kind of a place, that's not a place that you can speak the name of Jesus. But God, in a miraculous way, brought him out of there, brought him to the German-speaking nations, and he found his way to our church. And you know what happened? He said, I've prayed to my God, to Allah, 5 times a day for most of my life, and I never got an answer. But I came to this place, and you told me if I just called on the name of Jesus that he would respond. So I came up to the front, and I lifted my hands, and I just said his name. And he said, before I could finish, there was something pouring out of me. He said it was like fire coming out of my mouth. That is the name that we worship. That is the God that we serve. And when we call on his name, we should expect every time, thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for your power. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm so glad that just for this chance to stand in his presence and say his name and know he's going to respond. Do you believe that tonight, church? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, before you sit down, I want to go to the Word of God. If you would turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. And I want to take this moment while you're going there to say thank you so much, Pastor, for this chance to be here publicly. And to all of you for your faithfulness to the house of the Lord, to the kingdom of God, to all that you have given, because I can see there's a memorial built up before God. Thank you all so much. So in Hebrews chapter 11, I'm sure this is an apostolic church, so you've read this passage of scripture before, talking about now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And it goes down through history, talking about how it was that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And then he talks about Abel and Enoch and Noah and down through the ages, Abraham. And if you skip all the way down to verse 13, this is what I want to read right here. I know this sounds like a strange place to read, but I promise you it's going to go somewhere good. It says in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. You can set your Bibles down, and we're going to pray one more time and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts in the name of Jesus. Lord, this is your word, and this is your church. Your word is anointed, God, so I pray right now that you would anoint this moment, this time, this vessel. Jesus, have your way. God, I pray right now that your spirit would take control. Let it be under submission to your word and to the spirit of God moving in this place in the name of Jesus. And we believe, God, that you will do great things. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, 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 amen. You may be seated. Well, I was thinking about this passage of scripture today. Because simply, I know a lot of people like this. In fact, I went out to lunch with your friends, elder brother and sister Rogers, on Friday. And we were talking about all the great heroes of Pentecost that have gone before us. And especially the missionaries that went out. And oh, man, when I almost blush to think of how spoiled I am today. To be a missionary. Man, if I want to talk to my family, all I have to do is whip out my iPhone and talk to them on FaceTime. But thank you, Jesus, for the ones that went before me that just got on a boat, not knowing what God was going to, that knowing that God would provide, but not knowing how or when or how, what was going to happen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I love those kinds of people. I like spending time with them. I like rubbing shoulders with them because, you know, I say this often. You realize that faith is like the flu. The more you spend time with people who got it, the more it rubs off on you. It's easy when you're around people of faith to start seeing things in that perspective, to start seeing things the way that they see them. And I am so thankful for the people of faith that have gone before me, that saw something that wasn't yet there, but they said, I believe God is going to do this because I know Jesus, and I know what he wants to do in this place, especially in the German-speaking nations. And that is where I have the honor and the privilege of being a missionary to. I started out in Austria, and God started to open doors, and he gave us this beautiful vision of working together, of not being separated and saying, okay, you deal with your problems in Berlin, and we'll deal with our problems in Vienna. But God, he gave us this vision of saying, you know what, if I lift up my brother's vision, if I lift up my brother's dream, then he's going to take care of mine. And it's incredible what God has done with it, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. But you know what? It hasn't always been that way. In fact, I've had people at headquarters come up and say, Sister Amber, we're amazed because we thought we'd never have a church in Switzerland. And I know that sounds crazy because you're thinking, wait, this is the modern world. This isn't some backwater country. And even what your pastor was saying, you probably were scratching your heads a little bit and going, really? But it's absolutely true. I mean, it has been a mighty struggle for the UPCI to get a missionary into the country of Switzerland. Because if you think President Trump is down on immigration, let me just introduce you to some Swiss people. They'll put him to shame. And it has been, over the years, one of those challenges. But not only that, I mean, if you want to list the challenges, I like to list the challenges because it goes and shows how great God is. That it doesn't matter what the challenges are, he overcomes them all. But you can't find richer people than in Switzerland. You can't find more educated people than in Switzerland. That's where Albert Einstein taught, and that's where E equals MC squared happened. And honestly, I say this carefully, but my name is Hakenbruce, so it's okay if I say it. I don't think you can find more stubborn people in the world than German speakers. Oh no, there's way too many amens going on there. But you would think, and so it wasn't for the lack of trying. We've tried sending missionaries there, but for one reason or another, they'd have to leave. And you could look at that and say, wow, what a failure. You could look there and say, oh, we'll never have a church there. Honestly, it was the place that nobody, you didn't testify about Switzerland at General Conference. But I think God does those kinds of things on purpose, honestly. Because in the end, the longer he waits, the more glory he gets. If you think about it, if you go back to the book of Exodus, how many times did God, did Pharaoh say, the scriptures say, that Pharaoh was ready to let the children of Israel go? And what does the scripture say? That God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Oh, if I were there, I would have a little trouble keeping the faith. I'd be like, Lord, we were ready to go a long time ago, and Pharaoh was going to let us. What is your problem? Why are we still here? Well, you know what? It's because not only did God want to deliver the children of Israel, but the scripture says that he said, I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt so that everyone knows who is the Most High God. And even 40 years later, after God was done, 40 years, an entire wilderness away, people were still talking about what God had done. So here, I'm so thankful for these people that were able to go and believe and plant seeds in the German-speaking nations. Because today, we're getting to reap the harvest of what they planted. I came to the German-speaking nations in 2009. I had just turned 20, and I had no idea what I was doing. I was just really excited. I was just really glad to be there. But I had no idea the privilege that God was giving me, because he brought me to the German-speaking nations just in time to see all of that seed that had been planted begin to grow. Because at the time, we had one church in Austria, and 6 or 7 in Germany, and nothing in Switzerland. Not a church, not even a known apostolic presence, meaning we didn't know of one person that believed that there was just one God, and you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. But that vision started to go forth that God wanted to do something different. He said, now is the time. I've been planting, and I've been waiting, and I've been watering, and now I'm ready to give the increase. And he brought the right people into place at the right time, and he cast the vision. He said, I'm going to give you 100 churches and 100 pastors in 10 years. And this is after 50 years of sending missionaries into the German-speaking nations. But that's 50 years of seed that has been planted. And here we were. We're saying, okay, God, I don't know how it's going to happen, but it's your idea, so that means it's your fault. It's your problem. And we came and we said, okay, God, if you're going to do this, obviously we can't do things, we can't give as much as we've always given, because then we'll get what we've always got. So, God, whatever we need to give to the nth degree, to the 100%, whatever you ask, no matter how crazy, ridiculous, or outside of our capabilities, if you say it, we'll do it. And God began to open doors. We started a Bible school that, in the beginning, it was just 5 people across 2 countries. And they had to drive hours and hours and hours just to show up on a Saturday so that they could get a hold of the vision. But that vision began to grow, and it began to spread. And you know, as people started to see things differently, as they started to see the field differently, they started to see what used to just look like hopeless, helpless places, starting to see opportunities there. In fact, out of the blue, we got a phone call. We were missionaries, a group of missionaries in Vienna, Austria, and we got a phone call from the French-speaking part of Switzerland. And here we were working together, Austria and Germany, and we had put this idea together. We're going to be the United Pentecostal Church of the German-speaking nations. And then we get a phone call that's like, hello, bonjour. Yeah, it didn't look anything like what we pictured. But, you know, it was a lady that had been living in Geneva for 15 years. And she had gotten the Holy Ghost and been baptized in Jesus' name the last time a missionary had come. Even though it was that long ago, but she had still been serving God. She had been filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. And she told me later that for years, God would wake her up at 4 o'clock in the morning. She'd try to sleep in. She'd try to just say, oh, not today, God, but it wouldn't work. She'd have to get out of her bed at 4 o'clock in the morning and get on her knees and pray, oh, God. Jesus, open up a door here in Switzerland. God, send us a preacher. And so finally, she heard that the other missionaries that had come to Switzerland for so brief a time, they were now in Austria. You might have met them, Brother and Sister Charles Robinette. And they got that phone call and they said, I know it sounds crazy, but listen, I'm still here. And I just have a couple of ladies meeting together in my house. But is there any chance that you could send somebody to preach to us? And yes, it was crazy. In fact, if you were to look at it with carnal eyes, you'd say, you know what? This is just, that's not a lot to put so much resources into. That's really, for a couple of ladies meeting in a house, we don't have anyone within 1,000 miles of them. What could we do? But we had said, God, whatever you want. So we had people that would preach on Sunday morning in one country, run to the airport, jump on a plane, fly to Geneva just so they could have church in that lady's home, and then run back to the airport and fly home the same night. Then for 2 years, we had a national pastor that would drive 6 hours after working a full-time job all week, drive 6 hours one way so that they could have church in Geneva. But you know what? God took that and he began to build something with it. That faith that is the substance of things hoped for. When you have that kind of faith that says, God, I don't know where it's coming from, but I see something, even if it's just vague, even if I don't know how to put it together, God says, I can use that. In fact, it's the substance. It's the matter. It's what I make the visible things out of. So if you just give me that faith, I can mold something visible out of it. And so the people that were just two or three meeting together in a house, they became 5 and 6. And then 5 and 6 became 10 and 12, and then 15, and then 20. And then, before we had 25 people in the home church, we were already getting phone calls from another city. They were saying, you know what, if you come to our house, we'll have Bible study. And then those people in their living room started being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they were saying, you know what, let's go down to the lake. We don't have any bathtubs. We don't have a baptismal tank, but if we'll go down to the lake to get baptized. I don't care if it's raining. I don't care if it's thundering outside. I just got to get baptized tonight. And it just kept going. Those people, they said, you know what, we've got some friends in an hour, in a town two hours away. And if we go there, even just for one service, I bet they'd show up. And we said, all right, we're already stretched. We're already reaching, but okay, we'll take one more little step of faith. And we came and we said, just one service. But 12 people got the Holy Ghost in that service. So we couldn't stop there. And then those people, they said, actually, we live an hour away from here, even further into the German-speaking area. And if you'll send some, just anybody, even if we just had a Bible study at our house. So we started to branch out and move, and God was stretching us in ways that we had never seen before. We're thinking, oh, dear God, what's going on? But every time, he'd be right there to make a way, give us contacts. Even when we were having trouble getting into the country, he would still make a way. And we started going into Interlaken, and we just started with one family having Bible studies. But before the summer was over, we had 19 people in a home Bible study. And I remember thinking, God, this looks like another church. And he said, well, that's what the point is, isn't it? Hallelujah, Jesus. And you know what? Even when you think God's done the greatest thing that you've ever seen, he just takes it to a new level. Because it was a miracle what God had done, opening up doors in Geneva and Lausanne and Bern and Interlaken. But the biggest city in Switzerland is Zurich. It's also the toughest city in Switzerland. Because, again, you won't find richer people. That's where Albert Einstein taught in the university there. And it's the center of all of those stubborn German speakers. So for the longest time, I found out later that even people from Italy had been driving there years ago trying to start a church in Zurich. But it felt like it was impossible. It felt like we'd looked under every rock, and we said, "Lord, just one contact, and we'll go." But there was nothing. There was just nothing. Except there was. He was just doing it in ways that we had not yet seen. In fact, it wasn't until some time later that out of the blue, I got an email from a pastor in Perth, Australia. Not Austria, Australia, the other side of the world. In fact, when I first looked at it, I thought it was spam. I almost didn't open it, but apparently it was either faith or foolishness. I don't know. I still opened it. And I started to read, and it said, "Listen, you don't know me. My name is Pastor Butcher. But we have a young lady here, and she wanted to improve her English, so she came and she signed up for foreign exchange, and she chose Australia. And she got exchanged, seemingly by happenstance, with a family in our church. And when they first got to know her, she said, they invited her to church, and she said, I had never seen a church like this before. I was positive there was nothing like it in my country. But still, even though it seemed like the strangest thing she'd ever seen, there was something about it that she said, I just couldn't get away from. In fact, God filled her with the Holy Ghost in that church, and she got baptized in Jesus' name, and she got so excited, he said, that she's our most on-fire new convert. We're so happy to have her. She's just a blessing to be around. But now it's time for her to go home. And we're just wondering, is there any chance there's anybody near Zurich, Switzerland, where she can go to church? And I emailed him back, and I said, not yet, but there's going to be. And literally within 5 days of that first email, I got another email from a young couple that had been trying to come to Switzerland for years. And it had never worked out. It had always fallen apart. And we just given up hope. But because of the faithfulness of God, he said all of a sudden everything just fell into place. We had our budget raised. We were buying our plane tickets. And God put it on our hearts. We need to start a church in Zurich, Switzerland. Oh, you tell me God doesn't know what he's doing. He plans it all in this perfect way. In fact, he took it even to a deeper level. And at this point, I'm like, woo! God, I believe you can do anything. You can do it all. But again, he took me just a little bit further. I got a phone call from my bishop. At this point, we were the United Pentecostal Church of the German-speaking nations, working together, Austria, Germany, Switzerland. And God was doing marvelous things, opening doors in cities that literally had probably been there for 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 years, and maybe had never had an apostolic voice. Or some of them, if they did, they burnt them at the stake. We have those. But as God was doing something different, he started to speak to us again. And I got this phone call, and my bishop said, you know what, Sister Amber, I wanted to share something with you. I'm going to preach it at this general conference, but it's in me, and I just wanted to share it with everybody I could talk to. And he said, you know what, I believe God wants to do something greater than we've even seen. Because at this point, we had about 30 churches and preaching points, which was a miracle. Thank you, Jesus. We had never seen anything like it before. And I think at the time we had 7 churches and preaching points that we had started in Switzerland, in a country that just 7 years before that had nothing, not even a known apostolic presence. But still, we remembered that vision of 100 churches and 100 pastors. And that 8-year mark was coming up, and we're thinking, okay, God, we're still a long way from 100. So obviously you're going to do something even greater than we've seen. So Lord, prepare us. What do you want to do? And here this word came forth, and he said, you know what, Sister Amber, I believe it's not just going to be by one or by two or by families anymore. God's going to start giving the revelation of who he is to entire pastors and churches. And I said, oh, yes, hallelujah, that sounds great. Thank you, Jesus. And then my faith got a little shaky when he said, and I believe God's going to do it in Switzerland, Sister Amber. That's when I started getting nervous because I'm thinking, oh, boy. Oh, Jesus, forgive me, Lord, for my carnal thoughts. But I'm thinking, at the time I was 27, and I'm thinking to myself, what Trinitarian, denominal, German-speaking pastor is going to listen to this 27-year-old girl tell him, you need to baptize in Jesus' name. Don't you know there's just one God? But thank you, Jesus. It doesn't have anything to do with me. Thank you, Jesus. It's not about me. It's about the faithfulness of God and how he always keeps his promises. And it doesn't matter how impossible it looks. It doesn't matter what's been going on for how long. It doesn't matter what history says. History can't predict what God will do in a moment. And that's exactly what he did. In fact, we had started that church in Zurich, and God was doing great things. We were having revival, and we had moved out of the house setting and rented space in a little community center. And as we had church every Sunday, we had to set everything up and tear everything back down every Sunday. And again, you're hearing all of my internal carnal thoughts. I hated every minute of it. I was grumbling and complaining, but even that came to the glory of God, because we were there so long packing things up that every week we ended up bumping into the people that had rented the space after us. And every week they'd look at us like, who are you? What? Finally, somebody got up the courage and we started shaking hands, and they asked us, so what are you doing here? And we said, I know this sounds really strange because you've probably never encountered anything like this before in Switzerland, but we're a church. And we're not a church. We're not Protestant. We're not Catholic. We're not Reformed. We just believe that God is going to give a new revelation of who he is. It's actually not new. It goes all the way back to the book of Acts. But it's something you've never encountered before, and that's why we're here. And you know what? Their eyes got really big. They got really excited. They said, no way. We're a church. We meet here every Sunday afternoon. In fact, the more we talked to them, we talked to their pastor, and he said, you know what? I actually live 3 hours away in the French-speaking part of Switzerland, but I believe that. I believe God wants to bring new revival, a revelation like we've never seen before, something so powerful that it's going to change Zurich. And that's why I take the train 3 hours every Sunday, because I believe God wants to do it here. And we said, oh, wow, we had more in common than we thought. And we took another little step of faith, and we said, okay, Pastor, if that's what you want, we want that too. And in order to be ready, because we believe God's going to do it, but we've got to be ready. We've got to be true worshipers that worship him in spirit and in truth. So we're having leadership training this weekend. It was Purpose Institute. And we said, if you would like to, we would be honored if you would come as our guest. And again, I was really nervous. I was thinking, okay, Jesus, this isn't general conference. Nobody's jumping, nobody's shouting, nobody's getting healed. It's just getting into the word. And I don't know how he's going to take it. And so, but you know what? That's not my job. My job isn't to worry about how people are going to take it. My job is simply to be a witness of what I know to be true. So we got into the word. We said, there is just one God. And thank you, Jesus. He created this world, and he made each and every one of us. He is high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple. But he was willing to come and be lowly, be a servant, be a lamb that was slain. And he came and he died so that we could be born again of the water and of the Spirit, baptized in his name. And he gives us the power through his Spirit to live a holy and overcoming and victorious life. And we know it's in us because we start speaking in a new language. And again, he had to come late and leave early, so I didn't get to feel him out or figure out how he took it. And I was really nervous. And even text messages I sent him, there was no answer. I thought, oh great, he hated it. This is going to be so awkward now. Except that Sunday, we waited around again. We packed everything away. And I finally got up the courage to just poke my head in through the door and see what the reaction was. See if there was a chill in the water. But as I came down the stairs and I poked my head in through the back door, he must have been watching the back door, because even though he was talking to people and he was setting things up and he was busy, he saw me the moment I looked in. And he stopped everything he was doing. And he dropped his... walked away from his conversations, dropped everything, and came rushing over to me. And I'm thinking, oh boy, here it comes. And he starts talking, but he's talking so fast. I honestly couldn't understand him. I had to tell him, brother, you got to calm down. I don't know what you're saying. And finally, he slowed down enough that I heard him. You know what he was saying? That was amazing. That was incredible. I have never felt so much power, sister. I have never felt so much anointing. You Pentecostals are amazing. And oh, forgive me, Lord, owe me a little faith. All I could think was, I must be understanding him wrong. But he just kept talking. He said, you know what? There's an 800-seat auditorium right over here, right down the street. I know the guy. We can get a good deal. And we're going to need the space, because everybody in Zurich is going to get the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, Jesus. And you know what? That was 2 years ago. Since then, it started just with us. We said, you know what? We'll come. He said, come preach for me just one time. Then it was, you got to come preach for me once a month. And then we said, you know what, if you want to. Remember that Bible school we had started with just five people? It had grown. In fact, we had turned it into a campus model that 2 weeks every year we'd bring over teachers and pastors and evangelists from North America and send them into these cities so that they could spend 2 weeks doing Bible school with people that were hungry for the Word of God. And at that point, it had just been for people that were looking to be in ministry, people that were going for their minister's license, definitely people in our churches, in our organization. But God started to say, you know what? I wanted you to do this because I had an even bigger picture than you could even dream. And we said, you know what, Pastor? If you will bring your people and let us use your church, we'll bring the curriculum, we'll bring the teachers, we'll bring everything you need, and we'll spend 2 weeks just getting into the Word of God. Because if we are built on the Spirit and on the truth, then God is going to pour out his Spirit in Zurich, in Biel, in Geneva, in Lausanne, and on and on and on. And so he let us come, and we taught for 2 weeks. And not only did God fill his people with the Holy Ghost, give them a revelation of the baptism of the name of Jesus, but he invited six other pastors from all over Switzerland. And then three of them got baptized in Jesus' name. Then they said, oh, you got to come to our church. Our people need the Holy Ghost too. And we went to their churches. And in 1 week, 30 people got the Holy Ghost, not even in UPCI churches. And it just kept going. Honestly, since that time, since that first phone call, it's been almost 2 years now, I think. And we, Our Bible school in 2016 had 5 campuses. But since then, God has opened up doors in so many new unaffiliated churches that our Bible school has exploded. This year we had 17 campuses, most of which were not even in UPCI churches. And here's the clincher. We've baptized over 60 formerly Trinitarian, formerly denominational, formerly independent pastors in Jesus' name. And they are asking us to come and preach in their churches. And even when we're not, they're preaching the name of Jesus across their pulpit. Their people are getting a revelation of the oneness of God. They're getting a revelation of the power of holiness. It has taken off like a wildfire. And honestly, God's going to do so much more than 100 pastors and 100 churches in 10 years because we haven't even made it to the 10-year mark yet. And even though we had 17 campuses this year, we could have had even more. We just didn't have enough teachers. Oh, church, I am... on deputation right now, and I'm spending time going from church to church, and people ask me very frequently, how much longer is it going to be? And I appreciate the question because Lord knows, I'm ready. I would love to be back home, be back in Switzerland, seeing all the great things that God is doing. But honestly, it's a hard question for me to answer because I truly believe that if God wanted me back in Switzerland, I would not be here talking to you today. I've seen God do it too many times. He's provided time and time and time again. Every moment, it doesn't matter what was standing in the way. Money, immigration issues, God has always made a way. So that tells me if I am still here today, it is simply because what God is doing in the German-speaking nations, we need to hear it here in North America. Because it's one thing to say, okay, God can do it in a third world country where all they have is God. But it's a whole nother thing to say that in the last days, God promised he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh, that your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And sometimes it takes a little bit longer. Sometimes there are people that go forth and they poured out their lives. These all died in faith, having not received the promise. Oh, but here's the thing. When it all came together, when everything moved into the right place at the right time, it didn't matter what was going on. It didn't matter whether or not it all came together the way that they pictured. They had gotten a hold of a concept. It said that they had stated this plainly, that they were seeking a country. And yes, thank you, Jesus, I am seeking a country. I've seen God take a country that had no known apostolic presence and bring it back to life. But more than that, we're not just seeking a country. We're seeking a kingdom. That is the kingdom of God, what he is doing here through his people in his last days. And honestly, that doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter if it's in Switzerland or right here in Racine, Washington. God is doing, or Racine, Wisconsin, forgive me. God is doing greater things than he has ever done before. And it simply comes down to this, because these are the last days. And it's not just the fact of all the horrible things that are happening in the world, though things are growing worse and worse. It's because God is using all of his final miracles, all of his final things that he has been saving up. I like to use the example of, you know, it's one thing for Jesus to raise a girl who'd been dead for a couple of hours. That's a miracle. Or even for him to say, come out of a tomb after 4 days. That's incredible. But you know, there was this passage of scripture in Ezekiel where God gave the example of a valley, a vision of a valley of dry bones. And honestly, when he talks about it, he says, I want you to go and look, because look, they're very dry. They've probably been there for 1,000 years. And he told the prophet, go, pass by, take a look. Tell me, is there any help? Is there anything left? I can almost see the smile on his face. He's thrilled about it. Because he's thinking, it's time now. It's gotten dry enough. It's gotten impossible enough. People have given up. It's hopeless enough. And now everyone is going to be able to see my glory through it. When it all came together, when the bones connected to the bones and the sinews and the muscle and the flesh came over it. In the end, when God breathed over them, it, Scripture says, there stood an exceeding great army. And I'm telling you something, that's exactly what God is doing in the German-speaking nations. He has been waiting this long just so that when that army stands up and rises, there's not going to be anybody who can say it was anything but God that did it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Brother, if you wouldn't mind coming back to the piano, I want to end on this note right here. What we read here, talking about these people, that they got a hold of this vision. They got a hold of a picture of a land, of a country, even though it was hazy, even though it was fuzzy. And it says, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Church, I'm so thankful. I know that you don't get a church like this except for the fact that people have gone out before. And with tears in their eyes, they came and they planted seeds. And they believed without ever seeing what God has done, that God was going to do something greater than they could imagine. And that is what he has done in the German-speaking nations. From the time that heaven began, even into the 50 years that the UPCI has been sending missionaries, people that believed that God was going to do greater things than they had yet seen, and they planted seed believing it. Well, here's the thing. I believe God wants to do even greater things than this, than what we've seen here, than what we have yet seen in North America. I thank God for what he's brought us to, but I also believe that there is something greater, that God is wanting to bring a revelation of the name of Jesus, not just to our churches, but to people and places and denominations, that they are going to get a revelation of who God is, and they are going to start preaching it across their pulpits, no matter what it says on the front door. And I believe God is going to bring that revelation, and that power and that anointing is going to sweep our nation. We're seeing it already. If 34,000 young people can meet together in a football stadium, that tells me that God is getting ready to do something like we've never seen it before. You know, in the book of Acts, it talks about how they turned their world upside down. In fact, I love going to Acts chapter 19, where there was a riot in the streets because of the church. That the church had so affected that world center of commerce that entire industries were going out of business and they weren't happy about it. Oh, church, I believe God's going to do that in North America. I believe that there's going to be a march on Washington, and it's not going to be for women's rights or gay rights. It's going to be an army of God's people that say, I'm going to do this in North America. I'm going to do this in Europe. I'm going to do this throughout this globe on a scale like we have never seen. So I don't know how long you've been praying. I don't know how long you've been fasting, but I'm here to testify that it's time. God is bringing things together in ways that he has never done it before. So if you just stand with me right now, I want us to lift our hands and come before the Lord and just pray, oh God, don't let my picture of what I think is possible hold us back from what you want to do here, not just in this city, but in this world. God, I believe you're going to go so much further and so much greater. So Jesus, I pray right now that you would just give me that picture. Lord, that I could just get that picture of that heavenly country, something beyond this world that I have never yet pictured. And God, I pray that you would begin to move us into that direction. Oh God, put me in the right place at the right time. Jesus, let your spirit fill me so that it overflows, so that everywhere that I go, I'm connected with the right people. Jesus, so that your word comes forth out of me. I believe it, God, I believe it. Oh, so Jesus, just don't do it without me, Lord. These altars are open. You can come right now. In the name of Jesus, we praise you, God, for what you're going to do, for what you're going to do through this church, for what you're going to do in this city, for what you're going to do in this nation. Oh, God, I believe you're going to do it through this church, that it's going to affect places and people beyond what we can see. Thank you, Jesus, for the vision of a heavenly country, for people beyond what we have yet seen, whether it's outside of these doors. God, I believe that you've got a people. You've got much people in these cities. So lead us to them, God. In the name of Jesus, give us the boldness to speak your word, and that it would be followed by miracles, signs, and wonders. Apostolic faith, God, let it flow through us. In the name of Jesus, we pray.